You may be seated. Under Philip Nicolai, 317 is Bach's arrangement of Wacht auf, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Down a couple, Martin Rinkart, Now Thank We All Our God. That's a double check. Every Thanksgiving season, that should be sung. The next, Johann Schultz, number 4 in the hymnal. We already sang All Praise to God Who Reigns Above, just absolutely packed with Scripture, including that wonderful stanza that clearly is alluding to 1 Kings 18, and the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. Yahweh Hu Elohim, I still remember that from Hebrew. Magnificent hymn. Put a check by the next one, 198, Lift Up Your Heads, You Mighty Gates, to Truro. Very usable tune. Turn the pages to page 11. We come now to the Evangelical Awakenings and the Evangelical Hymns, beginning with Isaac Watts, known as the father of the English hymn. He's the father because up till then everybody was singing metrical psalms virtually exclusively, the Anglicans included, as well as the dissenters. The Anglicans don't begin singing hymns until the middle of the 19th century. They're singing psalms. Insofar as they're singing at all, they're singing psalms. So Isaac Watts can rightly claim that title as the father of the English hymn, and I believe still today the greatest of all of the English hymn writers. That's not just my opinion. Hughes Old says the devotional quality of hymns, of Watts's hymns, is unsurpassed. With Charles Wesley, Old says he shares the honor of being the greatest hymnist of English-speaking Christendom, and I think they still deserve the title. I don't think they've been surpassed, not because they wrote, 300 years ago, but because of the quality of it. There are certain eras that excel at certain things. I don't know that we'll excel the political writings of the American founding fathers, even though it's old stuff. It's the quality. It's not when and who. It's not what race. It's not what ethnic group. It has to do with the quality of it. And Watts is unsurpassed. Page 11, the new Trinity numbers are the numbers in the middle now. So don't get confused, or try not to, but I would put double checks by When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, third one down. The next one, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. Just great, great Christ-centered, cross-centered hymns. The next one, How Sweet and Awful Is the Place, is the way Watts wrote it. They Valley Girled it in the Red Trinity. But I double check that. Highly, highly recommend it to you. Drop down about 5. Come We That Love the Lord, that's number 700. To the end of that that category, How Bright These Glorious, that's number 544. I'd give that a check. Turn to number 176 in the hymnal. Not all the, 176? Yes, Not All the Blood of Beasts. Let's sing 2 stanzas of that. I suspect that this is not that well known, but it's... I did get confused. 242. 242, Festal Song. Death as Atoning Sacrifice, very clearly stated in that hymn. Turn the page, top of page 12, hymn number 340, Come Dearest Lord, give that a check, skip down 2. I'm Not Ashamed does not have a good tune, I don't think, in the Trinity. Asmon was used in the old Burgundy hymn book, and that's what I prefer to use. Or Belmont also is a good tune. Next, classification 15, His Divine and Moral Songs for Children. Let's sing number 119. As we do, note that 119, it's 84. I am confused. Aha, I'm not that confused. All right, number 119, I Sing the Almighty Power of God. Note that it looks like a song, and note that it was written for children.
Yeah.
is there a clearer sign that Christendom is in sharp decline than if Watts is writing that for children? All right, next, the Psalms of David imitated. These are Watts's Psalms. To tell you the truth, I would be content if that's all we ever used, were Watts's Psalms of David imitated. They are so outstanding. I know he's been criticized, and he was a bit arrogant maybe in speaking of the metrical Psalms as pulling the veil of Moses over the eyes of the saints. But let's forgive him for that and recognize that these are brilliant Christ-centered interpretations of the psalm, paraphrases of the psalm. We won't necessarily sing any of them, but let me just have you check some off. The first one there, which is number 7, from all that dwell below the skies, that's Psalm 117. Go down 2 and double-check, our God, our help in ages past. That's his version of Psalm 90, one of the great hymns of the church. Go down 2 more, before Jehovah's awful throne. That's his Psalm 100 to Park Street, great hymn. Go down several more to O Bless the Lord My Soul. That's his Psalm 103, uses the tune St. Michael from the Genevan Psalter. Drop down a few more. Double check Joy to the World. That's his Psalm 98. Now, if you see the whole text, you'll get it. It really does follow Psalm 98 very closely. One of the great hymns, and again, an example of the treasure, Antioch. That's attributed to Handel, arranged by Lowell Mason, words by Isaac Watts. It just doesn't get any better than that. That's the treasure that we have in the hymnal. Drop down a few more. Let Children Hear is Psalm 78 to the tune Dundee. Check that. Check the one after it. Lord of the Worlds Above. That's his Psalm 84 to Darwall. Okay, drop down 3 more and double check Jesus Shall Reign. I think that's the greatest of all missionary hymns. That's a Watts's version of Psalm 72, sung to Duke Street. That's the only tune to sing it to. Drop down one more. His version of Psalm 51, O Thou That Hearest When. That's number 45 in the New Trinity to the tune Hamburg. You know that is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. That's a great setting, a great rendering of Psalm 51. Should be used. All right, turn the page. I reckon Watts wrote at least 6 of the greatest hymns ever written, and you ought to use them every year. Charles Wesley, the sweet singer of Methodism, arranged these a little differently. The famous ones, every one of them gets a check. Every one of them. The ones that get the double checks, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Ye servants of God, your master proclaim, sung to either Lyons or Hanover. Come thou long expected Jesus, should be sung at the beginning of the Christmas season each year. Hark, the herald angel sings. Music by Mendelssohn, words by Charles Wesley. It's just amazing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing that we have in this collection. The next, Jesus Christ is risen today to Where's Edich? It's a Welsh tune. I dare not say it or he'll mock me afterwards, but it looks like Llanfair or something like that. It's a wonderful hymn. The next one, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Virtually everybody uses that every Easter Sunday. It should be. That's a double check if there ever was one. And who's responsible for the music? Is it attributed? No. Okay, Rejoice the Lord is King gets a double check to Darwall at the bottom of page 14. You can single check, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, but I've heard an arrangement of it with the tune Helmsley that makes it a double check. If we can ever get it universally accepted and used, it is absolutely perfect. Match of words and music. Jesus, Lover of My Soul to Aberystwyth. That's a double check. You just have to sing that hymn. The next one, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, is a double check. Soldiers of Christ Arise, one check. And Can It Be? I'm going to insist that we sing the last stanza of 455. What a great gospel hymn, 455. And again, they goo-gooed down the Red Trinity where you're repleting Amazing Love, How Can It Be? That's not the way you're supposed to do it. Do it a cappella? Yes, but instead of repeating Amazing Love, what you repeat is Bold I Approach the Eternal Throne and Claim the Crown Through Christ My Own. You got it? The refrain is the last line. You don't go back to the last line of the first stanza. You use the last line of the last stanza. You with me? I see a lot of blank stares. All right, let's stand and sing.
No condemnation.
No condemnation.
You can be seated. I just don't think there is any hymn that better expresses the heart of the saved saint and the sheer joy of it as does "And Can It Be." All right, turn the page. Philip Doddridge, another of the evangelical hymn writers of the 18th century. Turn to number 322 in the hymnal, "Lord of the Sabbath, Hear Us Pray." Doddridge's hymns virtually always end up with you gazing to heaven and setting your hope there. 390. Legalistic view of the Sabbath. Go on and let's sing a cappella the sixth stanza. And it expresses how the Sabbath encourages us to anticipate the eternal Sabbath in heaven, our eternal rest. So let's together. If you'll move down about five to "Awake My Soul, Stretch Every Nerve." That's a very fine hymn, number 576 in the hymnal. Give it a check. The one after that, 498, is not in the hymnal. "O God of Bethel." But the interesting thing is that it's almost always on the old lists. Previous generations loved that hymn, and I don't know what's happened to it. It's just dropped off somehow. The next one, "How Gentle God's Commands," to the tune "Dennis, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." Give that a check. And then double check the last one, "Great God We Sing That Mighty Hand," is not in the Red Trinity. It's another one of those inexplicable deletions to me. It's a great New Year hymn to a great tune. It's just magnificent. I don't know what happened, but it somehow got lost. There's a number of things that are inexplicable. El Shaddai is one of them. If you want an object lesson in music that doesn't fit words, that would be it. All right, enough of that. Page 17, top lady, Calvinist within the Church of England, severe critic of John Wesley, whom he called Pope John. Top lady is really no one speaks more of God's grace, justification by faith alone, by grace alone, by Christ alone, than did he. Put a check by number 95, which is 470 in the Trinity, New Trinity. Let's sing number 463, which I suspect some of us will not know, "A Debtor to Mercy Alone," 463. Great Welsh tune. Let's try to sing this first and last stanzas. My Savior's what? And there's the active and the passive. The imputation of Christ's righteousness, his obedience to the law, and is death on the cross. Let's sing the last stanza. Drop down about five. Double check Rock of Ages, Clef for Me, whatever tune you use. That's 499. 519, Fountain of Never Ceasing Grace, another great hymn of justification by faith. Yeah, it should be used. Give that a check. Turn the page to John Newton, former slave trader, or one involved in the slave trade, became a Christian and a Christian minister. We sang this morning, Let Us Love and Sing and Wonder. I think that's one of the greatest hymns ever written. That gets a double check. We were going to sing it, but we already did. The one above it, Though Troubles Assail Us, to the tune Joanna, very usable. Drop down, Four Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Double check that. That should be used every year. But right below it, Now May He Who From the Dead, to the tune Mercy. That gets one check. Drop down three more to Amazing Grace. You think that's one or two checks? Three checks. Drop down four more. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Great hymn on the subject of prayer. Give that a check. And below that, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in the Believer's Ear. That gets a check. Across the page, William Cooper, member of Newton's church and one who struggled a great deal with depression and who tried to even kill himself several times. And yet, who is it that wrote the book? His name always escapes me. Who wrote the book Orthodoxy? Chesterton regards him as one of the great poets of the English language. Maybe, did he call him the greatest lyric poet of the English language? His hymns, as you saw this morning as we sang the first of those, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, a superb statement of providence and frowning providences and our interpreting and understanding of them. The next below, that ought to be sung. The next one, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, certainly. The next after that, The Spirit Breathes Upon the Word, to the tune Belmont, as it is in the New Trinity. Very, very good. 262 from the old hymn book was not used in the New Trinity for some reason. But if you'll flip the page, we're going to sing a stanza because I love it so much. We sang this in England. Again, Scripture Rich. Play it good and loud so they can hear it. Anybody know this tune, St. Bees? Page 23, Joseph Addison's The Spacious Firmament on High. Page 23, Joseph Addison. We will sing that. That's on page 117, unless I'm continuing to confuse myself with my numbers. Got to sing to stand that one. Let's sing the first stanza. This is Addison's version of Psalm 19.
Thank you.
standing, that's a double checker. Joseph Hart, number 472 in your hymnals, a difficult Welsh tune, but I think much repays the effort to learn it. 472. Ministry of Howell Harris during the Great Awakening, contributed number 598, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I know you all know that. Next, John Senek, like Williams, converted during the Great Awakening. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, though not to the tunes that are, I don't think, not to the tunes in the Trinity. Helmsley, you must find Helmsley and use Helmsley. Thomas Oliver's, converted through Whitfield's preaching in Bristol, the God of Abraham praise. Leone, the tune, that's a double checker, by the way, as was Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. That tune is rooted somewhere in the Hebrew tradition. Who knows how far back it goes. The next page, turn to number 297, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. That should be sung every year. That's a double check, and we'll sing that first stanza together. We'll go ahead and stand for that. Standing and sitting is helping you to stay awake. So 297 to Diadem. Seated. Page 25 and 26 is my attempt to contextualize. I give you a top 40 of the 18th century. Turn to page 29, the hymnody of the early 19th century. With the Romantic movement, Christian hymnody begins to change. It makes more of an overt appeal to the senses and to the emotions. It makes reference to idealized and romanticized images from nature and from the past. It came upon a midnight clear. That would be a good example, you know. It didn't just come one night. When morning gilds the skies. So you have this kind of much looser poetic expression, some would argue superior poetic expression. You're not just getting rhymed theology as you did in the 18th century. You're getting now a much more poetic license and this appeal. The virgin sings her lullaby. That's a romanticized image that doesn't come from the Bible, but it's a romanticized view of the past and of motherhood, and you're going to find more and more of that creeping into our hymnody. James Montgomery, I have not double-checked any of them, but there are a number of good ones. The second one, Angels from the Realms of Glory. The next one, Hail to the Lord's Anointed to Aurelia. The next one, Spirit of the Living God to Winchester New. Drop down about five to According to Thy Gracious Word. But the Christian Reformed Church uses the tune Merton, and that's a wonderful tune with that hymn. The next, Shepherd of Souls, Refresh and Bless, St. Agnes. Which we sang to earlier. Lift up your heads to All Saints New is an outstanding hymn. In the Hour of Trial, another one to check. And then Call Jehovah Thy Salvation to Heifredal. That's Montgomery's view of Psalm 91. If you can combine those two, that's I think should be used every year. 31, Reginald Heber, page 31. Holy, 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 we sang earlier today. That's a double check. And 405, God that madest earth and heaven. Let's sing one stanza of that. Most of you maybe perhaps not know. How many of you was that new? Isn't it a beautiful melody? It's another Welsh tune. I highly commend it to you. The last two for Heber are should also get checks. From Greenland's icy mountains, the Son of God goes forth to war. Turn the page. Thomas Kelly, the second, the head that once was crowned with thorns, the Saint Magnus, gets a check. And then drop down five to Who Is This That Comes From Edom? Fell right out of the Red Trinity again for inexplicable reasons. But that is a great hymn to a great tune. I would double check that. I love that hymn. And I love the tune to that hymn. And yet it vanished. If you have the Blue Trinities or can get permission to photocopy, I would use it. Horatius Bonar. We come to virtually the first great Presbyterian hymn writer. Presbyterians are singing psalms, but he's written a number of them that I think should be used frequently. Drop down to the fourth of those, number 304, I heard the voice of Jesus say, let's sing the first stanza of 304. About that hymn is when you respond and I came to Jesus, it shifts to major key there. You catch that? It's minor key when he's hearing the voice of Jesus, but when he responds, it shifts to a major key, which seems to me singularly appropriate. Turn to 378, his wonderful communion hymn, 378. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Gets a double check. Richness of the sacramental piety in that hymn is a thing to be pondered. I just recently read the book Holy Fares by Schmidt, and it makes a point that I think that I've missed, maybe you missed it as well, but the matter of importance of the sacrament should not be confused with frequency of observation, or observance, I should say. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper played a central unparalleled role in Scottish Presbyterianism for over 200 years with the sacramental seasons that were the forerunners of our revivals in this country. And that book, Holy Fares, boy, it powerfully makes the point. If you were dealing with God as a Scottish Presbyterian, it would be at the table. You're baptized, you were going to get confirmed at that table. You're unbaptized and unconverted. It's going to be at the privilege of the table that's going to mark your conversion. You're backslidden, you get right with God at the table. You're faithful, you reaffirm the covenant at the table. And that was the place more than... what I'm saying is it had a central role. The high view of the sacrament found in this hymn is not atypical at all. It's rather expressive of that whole tradition of sacramental piety in Scottish and American Presbyterianism. All right, next, number 461. We'll sing one stanza of Not What My Hands Have Done, 461. This is another just outstanding statement of faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Verse after verse, not what my hands, thy work alone, thy grace alone. I bless the Christ. I praise the God of grace. Let's sing the first stanza. For how many of you was that new? Not as many. Good. At the bottom, go up three, a few more years shall roll to the same tune as a wonderful New Year hymn. All right, next page, 34, Francis Ridley Havergal wrote a number of outstanding hymns. The second one, 293 in your hymnal, Golden Harps Are Sounding. Then drop down five, Who Is on the Lord's Side? It's turn number 588 and stand and sing the first stanza. Did that so poorly as compared to how wonderful that hymn is that we're going to sing the last stanza again, and we're going to pick up the pace though. Let's really pick up the pace quite a bit. Standing and turn back a page to 699, Like a River Glorious. 699. be seated. Havergal probably slips into a little bit of higher lifeism in that hymn, but I'm willing to overlook it. The third stanza is so good. Page 35, the high church movement got into the act. It couldn't allow just the evangelicals to write hymns, and so John Mason Neal really did the whole church a favor by resurrecting so many of those older medieval and patristic church hymns that we sang earlier. Frederick Faber would be another. Cecil Frances Alexander. Most of her hymns were written as illustrations of the Apostles' Creed. She took a doctrine and wrote a hymn for it from out of the creed for children. The second one then, There Is a Green Hill Far Away, is one of those. Second from the bottom, Once in Royal David City, often used it at Christmas time. William Whiting's Eternal Father Strong to Save. You all do know that, don't you? That's the Navy hymn. I think that should be sung every year. Great hymn. Sir Henry Baker's The King of Love My Shepherd Is. That's a beautiful hymn. Matthew Bridges, Next Down, Crown Him with Many Crowns. That's every year. That's a double check. For the Beauty of the Church, of the Earth, rather, by Pierpoint. I would use that every that gets one check. Onward Christian Soldiers gets one check. William Howe, or Word of God Incarnate, gets one check, but For All the Saints gets two. And I think we're going to sing that before we leave here for this conference. After that, 394, This Day at Thy Creating Word to Winchester New is good. Across the page, John Ellerton, three songs down, Savior Again to Thy Dear Name to Ellers, is a good hymn. The Day Thou Gavest, O Lord, is ended. That's 407. That gets a check. And A Shine Thou Upon Us at the bottom, one from the bottom, Shall Thou Upon Us, Lord, to Leone. That gets one. Turn the Edward H. Bickersteth, however you say his name, his third hymn, Till He Comes, O Let the Words to Redhead, is a good hymn. Catherine Winkworth, third hymn, Whate'er My God Ordains Is Right, should be sung. That's a double check. That is a great hymn for a Presbyterian especially. Turn the page. Hymns of the 20th century, with words and tunes, I'm down to this. Margaret Clarkson, O Father, You Are Sovereign, to St. Theodulf. We Come, O Christ, to You, to Darwall, those two. Timothy Dudley Smith's Tell Out My Soul, that's Mary's Magnificat, that's his second. Under others, double checks by Great Is Thy Faithfulness and How Great Thou Art. And then all the others, I would give a single check, and we'll close with number 660, which I suspect some of us will not know, but is a gorgeous hymn. Let's sing the first stanza, number 660. Presentation.